We are watchmen, warriors, victors. Together, we will fight the good fight and finish strong. This is David Hebner Live.
Yes, 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 we will. We will fight the good fight. Good to have you guys. We're on a lot of different platforms. We're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter, and a bunch of other. Anyway, it's so good to have you guys. I hope you're on David Hebner TV, because that is our platform. I love you guys. I appreciate you. A lot going on. But, you know, the government shutdown and all this nonsense going on in Washington, and just all the news that we've been hearing. But yet there's things right now happening that is not being talked about, not being covered, and it's blowing my mind. It shouldn't blow my mind because, well, this is the end times. This is how the Antichrist is working. And what am I talking about tonight? What I'm talking about is something that everybody, it should shock everybody. And then by the time this show is over, you guys can be asking yourself a question. When I went to the hospital that time, and they said they were doing tests on me, and they put me under, I was out, I lost consciousness, or maybe I didn't. What did they really do to me? I'm talking over the years. We're talking about hidden hospital experiments, unholy pharma, unholy pharma. Folks, I'm uncovering something tonight that's one of the darkest secrets hiding behind these hospital walls. I'm talking about illegal human testing happening right now in cities across America. I mean, we're talking about patients experimented on without their knowledge, injected with substances like radioactive materials, subjected to tests in the name of medicine. I mean, I know this is going to sound like a bad B movie to you, but it's real. But unfortunately, it's not new. See, it began decades ago. I'm going to give you a little history. And by the way, I write about it in this book. It's all in this book, End Times Investigation. And I've got shows on David Hebner TV about this. So go check it out. But it all started, well, it started before what I'm getting ready to tell you, but this is how it got to America. These war criminals, Nazi Germany, performing horrific experiments on the Jews during World War II. They were smuggled out of Germany, and they were given these identities, new identities, through the Vatican. They called it the Red Cross passports. And they were quietly relocated to South America, and then they were quietly brought into the United States. This was in the 50s, 60s, and even the 70s. And many of these war doctor criminals, they were placed inside hospitals, government hospitals, research centers, government labs. And this twisted science continued, but under new names, new faces in these new programs, but the same old experiments. In the late 70s, I worked at a hospital. I was a kid, but I worked at a hospital. I was a social worker, well, late 70s, middle to late 70s. And I was giving shock treatment to young kids. I'm talking 15, 16, 17-year-olds. I mean, this little wooden box, it looked like something out of Frankenstein. You plug it up to the, and you turn it on, and you're shooting electricity into these kids. And then if that's not enough, they feed them this drug called Thorazine. And what it does, it clears the central nervous system. It's basically a form of mind control. It wasn't medicine. It was mind control. My guest tonight is someone that's lived through some of these experiences. She says she was held in a psych ward for weeks against her will, where they performed procedures and, well, they did it without her consent. We're going to be talking to her tonight. Before we do, I've uncovered some underground information, and I'm going to tell you, it's a little bit shocking, but you need to hear it. It happened right in Cincinnati, Ohio, but it's happening all over the United States. I want to give a shout out to News Nation for trying to put this out, but it didn't seem like many people were paying much attention. Take a look.
The U.S. government experimented on at least 18 Americans without their consent, injecting them with radioactive plutonium. Some of them simply trying to get their bones set after a car accident.
Well, you have a car accident. I mean, I've had a car accident. They're trying to get their bones put back together, so she says. You get put in a hospital. And some of these people never make it out. These are documented cases, folks. Let's go on.
From children, some of them orphans fed radioactive oatmeal in Massachusetts, to pregnant women given radioactive cocktails at top hospitals in Tennessee and California. And now horrifying tests in Cincinnati.
What? Radioactive oatmeal? Giving children radioactive oatmeal? I should have called the show radioactive oatmeal. Giving these radioactive cocktails to pregnant mothers in America? Today? In hospitals? What's going on? And nobody's talking about it. Let me tell you something. When you start coming against Big Pharma, there's two things you can talk about and put your life in danger. Number one is talk about the mafia, you know, and it still exists, the mafia, even though it's not the, you know, it's not the Humphrey Bogart mafia, not the James Cagney, but it still exists. But you start exposing them and coming against them, it puts your life in danger. Number two is Big Pharma. Many people have ended up scattered all over the desert. Oh, number three is coming against the Clinton Foundation. That's another story. Folks, how many of us are walking around that's radioactive? Let's continue with this.
These were about 80 to 90 people living in Cincinnati, mostly African-American, mostly poor, who were given whole body irradiation in the basement of Cincinnati General Hospital.
Wow. In a basement. Cincinnati General Hospital. Oh, I had a doctor friend tell me, because I asked him, I said, what can I do to live longer? He said two things. He's a doctor. He said, stay out of hospitals and stay away from doctors. Stay out of hospital, stay away from doctors. You know, I've covered this so many times. More people die in hospitals than we're even aware of.
And this experiment was funded by the military. And because the military, remember, they thought they were going to fight. The next war was going to be on a battlefield. They were going to be soldiers exposed to a bomb that went off 300.
Funded by the military. Now, I want to share something with you, and this is from my heart. My daughter's in the military. She's in the Navy. I have a utmost respect for our soldiers. So when I talk about the government, I'm not talking about the government that you and I see. I'm talking about the deep state government. When I talk about the military, it's not the military we see. Those people lay their lives on the line for us. This is a shadow military. It's a deep state military. I talked about this with Russ Dizdar. He agreed. These operations that this military does, it's not the military that you and I know. It's underground. It's not the military that goes out there and young men and women risk their lives for you and I. This is a dark, deceptive, demonic military. It's a dark, deep state military. You know, episode three of Last Evangelist deals with these things. That's a flyer from Last Evangelist. Shows how they experimented on babies. You can catch the trailer right now if you go to David Hebner TV. And the episode three comes out where we're doing a big premiere. In 2 weeks, you can see Last Evangelist has won tons of awards, but we're doing a big premiere in 2 weeks. It's called Transformed is the new episode. World premiere. I exposed this in episode three. They call it Operation Paperclip, but it's a lot more than that, folks. Let's keep watching.
Yards from them, and so they needed to know well, when is nausea going to set in? And their bone marrow basically disappeared, which subjected them to infection should they live long enough. They basically developed toxic shock syndrome, and they...
There you go. This just came out. But very few people know about it. Did you know about this? No, most people don't. That's why we do what we do, folks. That's why we do hear what we do. That's why I come on with you every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm with you every Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But Monday night, I try to bring the news to you as it connects to Scripture. You say, dude, what are you talking about, Scripture? This is in Scripture? Yeah. Yeah, Revelation 18:23. For by your sorceries, which is pharmakia, big pharma, were all nations deceived. And this is what's happening now. It's a great deception. By what? By pharmakia. You think a sorcery is some guy in a Halloween, you know, witch hat? Some girl with cape? No. This is mainstream. This is mainstream medicine. What's my opinion on David Lake? David Lake? David Lake. Yeah. I know who that is. I don't want to mention his last name. We need to have a conversation about that privately. Interesting. Part truth, part, you know. So it's real, folks. It's real, and it's happening to people. I've interviewed at least 20, 30 people, mostly women, that have gotten caught up in pharmakia in the medical system, medical field, right? I don't even know about this show because it gets so sensitive talking about this stuff. I'm not quite sure if the show's going to make it through the airwaves. So pray for me. Pray for protection. I want to bring on my guest, Crystal. Crystal, how are you doing?
I'm good. Nice to be on your show. I have learned a lot watching your show, David Hebner, just the last 2 months. I've been really plugged in on Monday nights, and it's like I would rather, I'm not really a TV watcher, but I know I don't like to miss a show, and so it's an honor to be on your show, and I know that some of these topics are sensitive, so I know that you're trying to expose so you can get the the word out, and I'm just here to answer any questions that you may have on my experience I had.
All right. Thank you, Crystal. You're a real blessing to the ministry, and you're so kind to come on and share your experience. You told me this experience when I first met you. And I want to start from the beginning. Well, not from the beginning, but I want to start from your first experience. What was your first experience going into a hospital where you felt they were taking advantage of you? And what happened during that visit to the hospital?
I mean, of course, I mean, I think I led myself there, which, you know, I was willing to, I mean, I was an addict, you know. It was about 11, 12 years ago. And I feel like I got drugged, you know, didn't, you know, when you're buying drugs off the streets, I don't remember taking whatever they said that was in my system. And so there was, so I have two incidents I was in. I got put in a place, and they would tell me that I would have to take this medicine. I would be there for like a week to get stable. And I was there a week, and then I was there another week. And it was more like they would tell me, like, I went in with, I was born without a thyroid. So we can go back to that. My mom was in a mental institution when she was pregnant with me, and they had shot her up with Halidol, Thorazine, and many other drugs. And so they had told her and my parents to abort me, and my dad was not going to settle for that. So they took her to another doctor, because she was in the mental institution for the first probably two trimesters. So they did have me, and I was fine, but I was born without a thyroid because of what she was shot up with while she was pregnant in the mental facility. So I knew, like, I had thyroid medicine. So I knew I would always have one pill that they would be giving me. Well, they would give me multiple. They would tell me, well, we're going to give you three different pills. And I would always ask what they're for. Well, they just say, you know, you're going to have to take this to get out. And so there'd be times like I would get aggressive. Like, I knew, like, when you go into a place and you're intoxicated, you are detoxed. And so I just feel like, I knew about week two, I was acting pretty normal. I just couldn't sleep at night. You're in a like a gel, basically, you know? So they would tell me that they were going to give me Benadryl. And I knew I had Benadryl before. And it wasn't, I feel like they were giving me something more than Benadryl, but they just told me to give a cup and take it. So after the third week, I'm like, man, if I don't take this medicine, I'm not going to get out. And so I would fight them. And there was a time they put me in a padded room. And they would hold me down, and they would shoot it. I would get shot up with it, and I didn't know what was in it. And I would be left there for 2 days.
Let me ask you a question. You were addicted. It was drugs, right?
Yes. I was just back when I went on this time. I feel like I was just doing alcohol and all, like, pills and a big marijuana user. So they said I was in psychosis. Mental psychosis was my...
That was my next question. Your diagnosis. They diagnosed you as mental psychosis?
Yes. And then I was.
That was your diagnosis. That was the official diagnosis.
Yes, was psychosis when I entered. But then I left there with like 10 different diagnoses.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Anytime they diagnose someone with psychosis, that means that there's nothing that they can tell you what they have. Psychosis is like saying, oh, I'm walking in the world. Well, where are you in the world? What state are you in? What country are you in? I mean, most of the time, not most, but a lot of the times, it'll be paranoid schizophrenic. It'll be manic depressive. Some people are in a catatonic state. There's different specific diagnosis for people. The fact they're telling you it was a psychosis tells me they either didn't know what it was, or they knew what it was, but they wanted to perform tests on you. You somehow were a good specimen for them to do testing. So what I hear you saying, correct me wrong, you went in on your own free will, but then as they took blood tests, they started, you know, looking at your body and your vitals and so forth, and they determined, hey, you know, this would be somebody that might be good for this testing. Now, all of a sudden, they started giving you things and they didn't tell you what it was. You started taking it, right? Now, My question for you is this, is that did you feel like at one point, Crystal, you would not be able to walk out of there unless you did what they wanted you to do?
Yes, I was like, man, I'm going to have to take this to get out because they're just going to keep me longer. So
no.
I try to be sneaky and I would cheek my meds and act like I would take them and put them in my cheek. And then I figured if I did that for a couple of times, like it bypassed, I don't know, like if, you know, I would get caught doing that, they would then make me open your mouth and make sure you're taking it. So it was very forced that I take these pills.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let me tell you something about the medical profession, especially psychiatrics. They're big on mind control. They play with people's emotions. They know darn well they can't keep you there. I mean, they can go to court and try to get an immediate injunction to keep you there, you know, whatever. But they're not going to do that unless you're dangerous to yourself or to them, whatever. But they play these mind games of wanting to control people, thinking that you cannot leave unless you do what it is they say, because they have a protocol that's going to make you better, feel better. So that's what happens. Now, let me ask you this. While you were there, how many weeks were you in the unit?
I was there 3.5 weeks.
Okay. Was there a time that you didn't remember when you were there? Did time go by where you had a lapse of memory?
Yes. And I feel like it was after I was put in the padded room. Like after that, I didn't feel normal for several days.
Okay. Now, I assume they gave you a medical doctor. They assigned you a psychiatrist. You probably had a social worker. And then you had mental health technicians all around you taking care of you. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was like I would go in a room and I always felt like I was like, man, am I crazy? I mean, obviously I was in a crazy house. So I was like, I can't really ask that question. But I knew like there was just something not right. There would be people behind a room and they would want me to like, they wouldn't just all be in there. They would say it was a team meeting. And then they would tell me that. And sometimes they would do Zoom. And I'm like, why are we Zooming? This is a big place. Why can't they just come in here? So it was always really awkward to me. And then when I would say things, they would just say, I mean, you're crazy. You have hallucinations. That's not going on right now.
Okay. Well, did they use the word crazy? Did they actually say you were crazy? C-R-A-Z-Y?
They said... They said I was crazy.
Okay. Well, then right there is a red flag. In the mental health profession, unless it's some flunky gal or guy that has an eighth grade education working as an orderly, would never say that. You would be just, you know, especially recently, since because it's been recent for you. Now, back when I worked there, maybe, you know, that did happen. Did you ever... change doctors? Did any doctors during your visit there, did you ever see a doctor and then the doctor left and somebody else came in, or was it consistent?
I would have several different ones. So I personally thought I was at a university or something. I'm like, are these interns or are they really doctors? Because I just didn't understand why I couldn't have, like, I know doctors need off, but they would be, it was called like a treatment team. And then they would switch. Yeah. So I never knew. Like, I still wish I could prove myself that this really happened. But I just know what happened there and how I felt. And that's why I think there needs to be investigation and education on these places.
Well, that's what they do. They bring in multiple doctors, treatment teams, so that no one's held accountable. It's confusing to the patient. They don't really know what's going on. I want to ask you about their behavior. Was it mostly men doctors, or was it made up of women doctors?
I would say it'd be both. There was very different cultures there. There would be different ethnic doctors.
What was the accents? You heard accents?
They were always hard to understand.
You don't remember what kind of accent it would be then?
I want to say the correct term, was it Iranian? Yeah.
All right. Was there any time that they did any experiments with you that you do remember that you thought was out of the ordinary? Do you remember anything like that?
they would take blood work on me a lot, and I would always question that because I'm like, man, when I they would like my thyroid. I know that I had to have my thyroid checked because I was born without the thyroid gland because of my birth defect of what happened to my mom. So I knew, but they said that they would be checking for levels of they were trying to give me like the medicine lithium and or like and they said that they always had to be checking my labs to see my levels. But I remember being having lab work like crazy in there.
Was there any sexual advancements or any sexuality involved in their protocol, examining you, anything out of the ordinary like that?
Not that I can remember, but like I said, I remember there was probably at least 2 days that I don't even remember much of conscience. So to what I can remember, I don't think I was ever really physically sexually touched, but I remember like there was just a lot of weird behavior with the other. They would just put everybody together, and then I would just notice like I felt like I was normal, and there would be crazier people get released, and then I was just held longer, and I never understood why. So then I got to thinking maybe I'm being tested.
How did you get released? What happened?
Finally, after I was there 3.5 weeks, and finally they told me that they were going to let me out, and I could go to outpatient treatment.
Okay, so I want to go back to your mom. She was in a mental institution, and even in the second and third trimester when she was pregnant with you, they were pumping her with Thorazine inside of a mental institution. Is that what you were telling me?
Yes.
That is so dangerous. That is so reckless to do something to with pregnancy, with a, especially in the second and third trimester. Thorazine is like battery acid to the nervous system. I mean, I think what happened to you as a baby, there were two things, one spiritually and one was chemically, physically. Is the spirituality of your mother, her brain was and the things she let into her body, the darkness came upon you spiritually as a baby. But number two is this Thorazine and these things they did to her in the hospital came into you chemically. You know, it affected your body. I would say there's a good chance, Crystal, that your mother was tested in that hospital, that she underwent the same kind of testing without her knowing it, because there's something in your blood. See, they run blood tests because they need to get certain kinds of blood. It's all in the blood. It's all about the blood. And if they can get a certain blood type, and it's not just the blood type, there's more to it than that. And I would, do you know if you were your mother's blood type by any chance?
I wasn't. She was a rare blood type because I remember that was a rare, she had a rare blood type.
Okay. Now, the blood type doesn't always mean much, the blood type. But do you know, did she have any thyroid issues? Did she have any issues with her body?
No, she was just always, her dad died at 23, and ever since then, she was hospitalized. When she died, she died 4 years ago, and I counted she's been in 52 mental institutions before she passed.
Okay.
She actually did shock therapy. They did the shock therapy to make her forget everything. And but that was long before she had me. But in between there, she did have some shock therapy done.
And that's the thing, you know, you wonder because I used to administer shock therapy. I had to have a nurse with me. I should have had a doctor, but they just had a nurse, and that's crazy. Because I didn't know what I was doing. But you wonder that do they really want you to forget your problems or forget what it is they did to you? You know, and that's why they pump people full of Thorazine. Thorazine and shock treatment is a perfect way to just totally blow someone's mind and perform mind control on them. Because what it does, it clears the central nervous system. You're nothing. You can they put stuff into you at that point. Okay, so let me ask you this question. Before you went into the hospital that time for 3 weeks, Had you ever gone into the hospital before that and stayed for a period of time and you felt like something wasn't right, or was that the only time?
I was mentally hospitalized 2 times. So I've had 2 different instances that things happen. The first one, I left with probably tons of different mess. And they told me I was just, well, every time I told them that, I would tell them the history that when I would get in there and I would tell them any of my mom's history, then it was like, I wish I would have never told them my mom had issues. So then they were like, they just really put on the diagnosis of me. There was a time I left with 23 prescriptions. A subscription or like 23 prescriptions, and I got home and my roommate said, "You're I can't remember the medicine it was. I wish I would have. I don't know. I sort of like 10 years ago, I prayed that there was nothing wrong with me. It was all, drug induced, and then I was probably an experiment for the mental health world. And I've sort of just tried to erase it myself and to know that I'm not on any medications now besides my thyroid and." But there was one medicine, Seroquel. Like they had like I had 23. It was so bad that they wanted me to give up my rights to the state and told me I should be a ward of the state because I wasn't ever going to be able to function in society.
Of
And
course.
my
And look at you now. I mean, you're functioning better than me. See,
Oh, I get nervous being on Zoom, so sorry.
well, no, let me tell you. Okay, so and it's in my book. Again, I'm not promoting my book, but I am, because you guys need to read it. It's all in there. Is that I worked for a state hospital, and it in the back of the state hospital was a cemetery. Some of these had unmarked graves. We had patients, we called them lifers, Crystal. They were lifers, meaning they had been in for life. They had no family. Nobody, if they disappeared, nobody would ever say anything. Well, guess who was the ones they were testing on? Lifers, lifers. And when they die, they supposedly get buried back in the cemetery, but yet half the stones are missing. So I'm asking myself a lot of these questions. And here's my reason for bringing this up. Is because your mother, and this is conjecture, but I just want you to hear me out on this. Your mother was in these hospitals more times than she was out. I believe that there was a good chance that she was a perfect specimen that they were performing tests on her. And I believe that same DNA, the same reason they performed tests on her, they perform tests on you. Okay. Now, I want to say one other thing. What they were giving her, they knew what they were giving her, and they knew it would affect you and cause you to be an addict. Okay. Because they need for you to be an addict so that you will come back in and seek help from them. Does that make sense?
No,
This is
I.
what, it's a vicious cycle. So when I come back, I'm going to ask you this question from a spiritual point of view. Where are demons in this? Don't answer me now, because we're going to talk about it. When I come back, I'm going to ask you exactly where you think the demons played a big part in this. Okay, Crystal. So hang on, don't go anywhere. All right. I appreciate you. Crystal, beautiful, beautiful soul, willing to come on and share her story. And I know, folks, I must be saying some crazy things that you all, man, this guy, David, he's like, he needs to put his tinfoil hat on. But I'm telling you, this stuff is real, and people don't want to believe it. They just want to go in La La Land and go to church every Sunday and, worship a cotton candy Jesus, and they don't want to know about scriptures like this that says that by the pharmakia your nations are deceived. This is a deception. What do you think this is? Don't talk to me about palm readers. Yeah, they're blatantly deceived, of course. Don't talk to me about tarot cards. Of course, that's in your face. No, I'm talking about this kind of stuff. I'm talking about programming that pharmakia does to us. This is the scamdemic. This was a form of programming when the virus came, the scamdemic. They programmed us because of fear, right? So anyway, I want you guys to right now to go to David Heavener TV, sign up. If you're not a member, please, please, we're going underground about 10 minutes. We have a Prophecy Channel with 1,200 shows. All these people, L.A. Marzulli, Lake Grace Russ Dizdar, Jamie Walden, Dr. Monzo, Carl Gallops. I mean, it's just amazing the stuff we have. And I want you can sit back and spend hours just watching these end time shows, get your end times popcorn and sit there and watch these shows. And it would support the ministry. We would appreciate it. Don't forget about the Last Evangelist Film and Music Festival, November the 14th and 15th. Get your ticket now. Go to lastevangelistfestival.com. And one other thing, too, is if you want to help support this ministry and talk about more subjects like this and get the truth out, go to davidhebner.tv/give. Text the word CHOSEN to 91999. Call 844-806-0006. Okay, and I want to tell you something real quick here. I'm going to bring Crystal on. I'm going to show her this too. Crystal, we're going to do a silent auction, and you're a big part of this ministry. You're going to help us at the film festival, but we're going to be auctioning off this. This is a cutting board, the Last Evangelist cutting board. Look how thick that is.
Wow, that's nice.
It's done by Michael Levine, who's an amazing, amazing artist, and he's doing this, and he's donating it for the silent auction. Now, look at this one. This is I like Harley Davidson. Look at that. Is that cool or what? I mean, wouldn't you like to have a cut? I don't think I would cut on this board. I don't know what I'd do with it. You know, like they're too nice, right? All right. So let's get into the spiritual aspect of it. Everything is spiritual. So it's not like, you know, okay, now let's talk about God. No, it's all about God. It's all about the devil too and what he's been doing. How much do demons play into this in getting you addicted, getting you into the hospital? Do you think there was demonic presence there among the doctors? Tell me what went on with you spiritually during this time.
Yes, I actually feel like there was a lot of darkness in those places. I mean, it's almost scary. Like, I almost feel like I have trauma from being in the two places that I was in, and I would always mention spiritual because at 10 years old, I had a calling all my life. And I know that I ran from the Lord and I was like the prodigal daughter son story. But like, I always knew that something in my heart, like God was with me. And so when I would be in these places, I would start talking spiritual and then that would like, they would use that against me. So it was like, I know that God's with me. He would not want me to be in this place. Like, I'm going to get out. And I would just pray. And so the more I talked about spiritual stuff, it almost felt like I had to be in there longer. Because then they were saying I was, what was the word? Like, I was talking irrational. And then I would get, they would say I was manic the more I would preach. Because I would like, I mean, after 2 weeks, like, you're pretty sober being in. And like,
You start preaching in this mental institution.
Well, I would just start being like an encouragement because I feel like God is always, I'm an encourager. And so when I wasn't intoxicated, because, you know, after 2 weeks in there, I'm pretty sober. I've not had a drink or a drug being in there. So, I mean,
Chris, I want to ask you, did you ever see demons? Did you ever feel the presence of demons?
It was just really heavy. I would have nightmares and they're like crazy. And I'm not a nightmare type of girl. And in that facility, I could hear screaming. And when I would tell them what I would hear at night, then they would tell me I was hallucinating. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I was hallucinating. I feel like it was a dark, demonic place.
Yeah. Do you find it odd that they did all these things to you and kept you in there and you felt like you couldn't get out? And then all of a sudden they just let you out? Just like, you know, a couple of weeks later, something happened. They just go, oh, we're going to let her out. You didn't find that odd? Like, why'd they go from controlling me? I feel like I can't get out of here to, okay, it's time for you to go.
Yes. I thought it was really, really weird. I just thought it was part of the system and being a state hospital. And then they were holding against, I was willing to go in, but once they get you in there, they can hold you longer with the EOD because if you're normal and you're able to get out and they want to keep you in there longer, they can say EODU that you're not ready. So I feel like that's what happened, but I do feel like it was very dark and the music and what they would I just it was a nightmare. Like I've almost had like PTSD from being in those places now. But I know that God, I'm just glad I didn't listen to them and take the 23 pills when I left there, because I probably wouldn't be here today. Because all those that different medicine, like I was more depressed being on that medicine than I was in normal life. So today, like, do I fight with a little bit of depression? I have seasonal depression, but I don't have the depression and all that. I need to be on 23 pills.
Yeah,
And
that's what they do. That's what they do. Beth says here that when I was having night terrors as a kid, they tell my mom to give me Benadryl like every single night. Benadryl every single night for a kid? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is, you know, and that's what Beth is saying is mild. There's nothing heavy about that, but that's what they do here. That's what they do. And let's get back to the spiritual part of it. You have a daughter, and how old is she now?
She's nine.
9. Does she have any of the tendencies that you had when you were her age? Does she display any of those tendencies at all?
No, because I really didn't have any of the mental or what they said mental health tendencies until I was about 20, and I was drinking and drugging. So sometimes I wonder if I did get laced or something that caused that behavior to get me there, because they would always say I was manic and I was crazy the first time I got in there, to a point where they put me in a straight, what do you call it, a straight
Straight
jacket chair, a restraint.
restraint. I want to go back to your childhood for a moment. Do you have any missing time in your childhood? Any part of your childhood you don't remember?
Yes, I have, like, from about, well, when I was probably my mom was in and out of mental institutions. So when mom would go into mental hospital, we would be told that she was sick, and I always knew where she was. And I would have to stay with family. My dad took the best care of he could with us, but there was three other siblings. So there's just missing time, like time frames in my life that I can really remember. And then there's a blur, and then there's my adolescence, and then there's my addiction days, and then sometimes I'll remember the craziest things, and then I don't remember some things.
Okay, Crystal, what you don't remember, that time period you don't remember, how old were you, roughly? Not, I don't need.
I would say about 8 to 12. I really don't remember much. And
Okay.
then from the age of 20, 25, after I went to a facility, about 25 to 29, I don't remember much.
Okay, all right. So let's talk about your childhood. Do you remember anything? You said between 8 and 12, you don't remember. So let's talk about between, I don't know, being born and 7 years old. What was that like? What was the day-to-day in your house like? You said your mother's mentally ill, but was she ill at that time?
When she was doing good, she really didn't have that many episodes until probably I was like a fifth or sixth grader. She always had to be hospitalized, so I would have been 10 or 12.
Okay.
But she just was the normal farm mom, had a full course meal. She was a homemaker, but she could never really handle stress.
Yeah. Was she abusive?
No. Like, she was so sweet. Like, they always called her the little Jesus lady, because she would get so spiritual. And, like, she
Jeez.
never cussed, never drank, or never done anything. She just had
Just
these.
went insane for Jesus, I guess.
Yeah, like, she would.
Okay, what about your dad? Was he outgoing? Was he abusive? Was he nurturing to you? What was he like?
My dad was an alcoholic until he quit the year I was born, so 85.
Okay. But what was
He just worked all the time. So I was probably left alone. My dad always loved me, but he had to, like, we didn't have a really close relationship because he was trying to raise the three or four kids.
You
And
were abandoned, basically. Your mother was having mental issues. Your dad was an alcoholic, working all the time. Even though he wasn't drinking, a lot of times we still display our addictive behavior. We're just not acting it out, you know. What about aunts and uncles? What about places you went that maybe you could have been taken advantage of? Some things could have happened. Do you remember any of that in your life?
No, I really do feel like my dad's side of the family really did take good care of me. They're all like, I still talk to them now, and they were all really nourishing to me. But my mom, she had a brother that was pure evil. And sometimes I wonder what, I don't know. I don't have many things nice to say about him, but he had a mental.
Okay, what was he doing that was pure evil? Give me a pure evil thing most people.
He just re he was she he controlled her. He was a physical therapist, and he would pay to get my mom put in some of these places. So
Okay.
I like he just did very he was a very bizarre behavior. And
Okay.
my mom was always the alibi for his crazy. Like we had to lead the secret life that mom like they were embarrassed by my mom because they were really well known in the community. He was a physical therapist, and
So I want to ask you, Crystal, what your life was like coming, in as a young teen girl, into puberty and into dating and into the world of there's boys and stuff. Did you have a healthy outlook on sex?
I just never really, I when I was going in, well, I was not a good girl. I mean, from the time I was 16 to about 20, 28, I lived the drinking and sexual behavior. I was really, I don't know what the word is to put it. I was not pure. I was wild. So therefore, I never really cared about sex, but there would be times I did do sex because you were drinking and, that was the thing to do.
Right. Well, something happened on or before when you were 8 years old, from 8 to 12 years old. That's a 4 year period that you don't remember much. And I'm not laying anything on you. I'm just asking you questions. We're having
Right.
conversations. But something happened for you to block out that 4 year period. So something was going on, and we probably aren't going to uncover it right now, nor you may not even want to. But the reason I'm bringing this up is there's people out there that are in your situation where they don't remember their a time in their life too. It's been blocked out. I'm not saying you're a program multiple. It's not what I'm saying. But one of the signs, symptoms of a program multiple is missing time. Okay, missing time. Have you ever felt like you stepped into a different personality and you asked yourself, my goodness, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I thinking this? Have you ever been in that situation?
I don't know. Think about that question. I just have never. I mean, I guess when I was using, I was in different personalities than what I probably am today sober. But then that goes back on the addiction and not. But when I was on all that medicine, I would be totally different. I was a zombie. So I can't really. I guess I'm not answering that question probably right because.
No, there's no right or wrong to it. A lot of times we can get lost in the drugs, and that's when other personalities come out because there's a release. It's like we're okay to do that because our mind, what holds things back, no longer holds it back. And and again, I'm not saying you had was a program multiple. You may have had multiple personalities, but I'm not saying you were programmed. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Like one last question, and then we're going to go to underground is, were you saved during this time? All, were you a child of God? Were you a Christian?
Yes, I remember at I think it was nine. Yeah, I was my daughter's age. I was 9 years old, and when I remember feeling that like I want to serve the Lord. And but then there was that time from 9 to 16, I was about Jesus. And then from 16 to 27, I was of the world.
Yeah, did you have a good church you went to? Did you have good experience in that church, or did you have a problem? Were there issues in that church you went to?
I feel like the churches were feel good churches I've been raised up in. Like I've been listening to your Sunday church, and I've learned more in the last few months than I have. Like people just don't talk about what's it's all the feel good of do good, do this. And I've always felt like I needed to go deeper in churches, and I never really got that. I was raised up in a Baptist church, so Baptist theology, Baptist. So now I really more consider myself a non-denominational because, and then I want truth, and I like to be, when I go to church, I want to be convicted and know what's in the word. And so I, now that I am almost 40, I'm actually learning more than I've ever thought I would learn. And
Yeah.
that's getting outside of the church walls. And I hate to say that, but I feel like there's a lot of churches that are just playing church, and I don't want to play church.
No, absolutely. And you are hungry for truth, I can tell you. And you're a great warrior, and you're certainly an asset to this ministry. And I just want to tell you, my wife and I, Shanita, we really appreciate you. You've been a
Oh.
wonderful, wonderful spirit added to this mission. So thank you very much.
Well,
Appreciate it.
thank you. I consider it a blessing that I met you guys. You know, I was praying to meet somebody that was, you know, that was ready to share the truth and be bold. And so I've met my people, and now I just think we got to go out and conquer the world and get people to make movies that are legit. I think I told you this weekend about that pet movie that I went and seen, and I was so disturbed, but I think that's another topic. So
Real quick, what's the name of it so we can tell everybody?
the pets on the train.
Pets on a Train. And
I
real
mean,
quick.
it's really cute. Your kids will love it. My daughter wanted to go watch it twice, but there's agenda behind it. I
Yeah.
just don't understand why Hollywood has to make all these.
Well, what did you have a problem with? I mean, we have like 60 seconds. What did you have a problem with? Pets on a Train. What'd they do? Kick
I
all
mean,
the.
I like the pets on the train, but they had all the parents get on the train. They made all the parents get off, and the pets were on the train by themselves. But there was just like the different characters. I guess I could feel that there's just agendas. Like
They were demonic, some of these
they
characters.
were, yeah, they were going to hijack the system to get the train to not stop with the animals. So it's like, again, we have that in our world right now, hijacking, hacking systems. Why does it need to be in a show with 4-year-olds or
Yeah,
for
good point.
4-year-olds?
Crystal, you're going to be with us underground in just a few minutes.
Yes.
All right. God bless you. I appreciate you being with us. Okay.
Thank you,
Thank you.
guys.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Crystal, and she is so kind to be with us. Folks, please, if you know anybody that's suffering from mental illness and it's a vicious cycle, okay? A lot of times they're not mentally ill, they're spiritually attacked, okay? And if you got anything out of this broadcast today, tonight, you need to take this with you, is that there are demons out there that want to take down God's people, and they're coming through the system, through medical, okay? Not all medical is bad, but I'm talking about it's been hijacked by a higher power, and it's not a good power, okay? So anyway, listen, if you would like to come to the festival, we'd love to have you. If you'd like to be a sponsor, you can call 844-806-0006. You just make a small donation. We give you a table. You can get up and speak to people about your mission, about your ministry. I'll be teaching film and acting there. So come on the 14th, I'll be teaching film and acting. And on the 15th, we'll be showing movies. Don't forget to get your t-shirt. My vaccine's the blood of Jesus, legalize Jesus. And we got our hats and so forth. And then last but not least, don't forget my book, okay? End Times Investigation. You can call 844-806-0006 or go to davidhebner.tv /order. And all right, we're going to see you underground. Remember, you never really lived till you found someone to die for. And that someone is Christ Jesus. God bless you all. I want you to go to davidhebner.tv, and we have two exclusive videos that are up. You won't see anyplace else. I'm Dr. Michael Lake. The first one is Technocracy and Tyranny. That's part two. Part one is MK Ultra is used today, program multiples and mass shootings. This is stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. You'll get it on David Hebner TV. Please support us. If you haven't signed up, go and sign up now. You get a 2 months free if you sign up for a year. And folks, it is not expensive, but it really does help the ministry.
And also, you'll get over 700 videos. Spencer, go, what are the names of some of those channels up there?
Yeah, David, we've got the live stream channel. We've got the Russ Dizdar tribute channel, David's Choice in the Spotlight, Spiritual Warfare Training, Alien Demon Connection, The Last Evangelist TV series, Originals and Exclusives, Mind Control.
And it's the only place you can see Last Evangelist, DavidHebner.tv. We have the new End Times DVD, 8 hours of me investigating things like Satanism and demonic powers, Illuminati, New World Order, Antichrist, One World Religion, End Times Miracles, Bible Prophecy,
and the Alien Demon Connection with L.A. Marzulli.
So I want you to text the word CHOSEN to 91999, the word CHOSEN to 91999, and get the End Times Investigation DVD.